311.
Good afternoon and welcome to yet another 311 radio show here on VOB 92.9 FM. I want to thank all of you for joining us today yet again. And for those who are joining us for the first time, I want to thank you. Welcome and welcome to the 311 Barbados Fire Service family. And for those who are our usual listeners, thank you for tuning in once again. And I hope that everyone listening is having a great day. As we are celebrating Easter, happy Easter to all of our listeners. And today, joining me on today's program, we have Fire Officer 121 Glenn Allen.
Thank you for having me on the show. It is a pleasure to be here.
And once again, I am the host for this afternoon's program, Fire and Life Safety Officer 328 Kevin Sobers. Now, Allen, today we have a wide range of things to discuss. So hopefully time permits us to get through this long list of stuff that we have to discuss. And first up, we realize that Barbadians has been really not been kind to the Barbados Fire Service. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been having, and let me just make this clear, not fires due to spontaneous combustion, but fires which we know for sure have been started by persons deliberately. There's no evidence to support
spontaneous
combustion. So for all those out there who over the past couple weeks have been stopping me and asking me if the fire started because of magnifying glass or glass in the grass, or definitely not, it's not due to no spontaneous combustion, but spontaneous deliberate actions by persons who are
human intervention.
Yes, please. So as it relates to we being in the dry season and all of these fires, all of these grass fires, and it's not just grass fires that we're having a lot of house fires, and house fires which are also starting as a result of the same grass fires. So we'll give you a few tips for those persons. So those persons who know they have been negligent as it relates to keeping around their properties clean and clear, those who know that the grass has overgrown and to the point where the grass is onto, whether it be your paling or onto your house, those in the hearing of my voice, please ensure that around your house you have a barrier or a break. Make sure it's at least 8 feet away from your house or off of your house, so that in the event that the fire or the grass is coming towards your house, it will have a break, which will make it a whole lot easier to, it will either extinguish itself or it'll be easier for you to control and extinguish as well. Not just you, but my colleagues from the Barbados Fire Service.
Yes, I want to re-emphasize what you said earlier. These fires are not occurring as a result of spontaneous combustion. The evidence to date shows clearly that it is human intervention. Mm-hmm. And we are aware that some persons are burning because they have challenges with cow itch. Some persons have vacant lots that are rodent infested. And of course, there are persons who are trying to clean up around their homes during the dry season, and they're trying to rid their premises of the dry leaves and dried grass. So we are aware that the fires are not happening as a result of spontaneous combustion. These are human intervention. And we want to use this podcast today to send a very clear and strong message that it is not the best time to conduct open burning. Leave that to the experts at the fire department, because we understand fire behavior and the science of fire, and we are the best ones who are best able to conduct these operations. The public would notice that on many occasions when we go out sometimes to these uncontrolled grass fires, that the personnel from the fire department will conduct something called counter firing, also known as backlighting. And to conduct counter firing, You need to know what you're doing, because counterfiring is a very specific and controlled activity. Persons who are not trained to do this should not attempt to do it, because, like I said, the fire could easily get away from you. It's very windy on the outside, yep. And it is extremely dry.
Extremely.
So persons should cease and desist at this time from conducting any open burning. Leave that to us in the fire department. We are still receiving requests from persons to have assistance with burning, and these will be assessed on a case-by-case basis. We are not promising the public that we're going to come out there and burn down every lot that they request to have burned, because we too are mindful of the effects that these fires are having on persons who have asthma, mm-hmm. and other ailments. So sometimes if we do conduct an operation that requires counterfiring, it is only based on a situation where it is absolutely necessary. We will not come out there and haphazardly conduct burning if we can avoid that.
Yeah.
So now we would want to encourage persons. At this time, it is best that you seriously look at cleaning up around your surroundings and to better enable yourself to survive a situation where a wildfire comes close to your home. In recent times, the fire department has been bombarded with numerous telephone calls because people are anxious, and rightfully so. Some of these wildfires have gone very, very close to areas where they are highly residential.
Yeah.
And people are sometimes alarmed and a bit anxious. One of the things that we want to encourage you as well, call 311. The moment you see a fire going and there's no one around to see after that fire, it's an open fire going unsupervised, you need to contact the fire department and bring it to our attention. As you are aware, the fire department's dispatch center is 24 hours, 7 days a week. We are standing by to receive your calls. Do not hesitate. Do not wait to when the fire has burned 2 acres and gone down the road and havoc is wreaking, then to report the fire. If you see that fire in its early stages, that's the best time to make that report and to let the dispatch know that we have a fire going and exactly where it is. Sometimes, you know, people call and say, oh, there's a fire going at this place. I now pass it. And they're challenged to tell us exactly where the fire is, because they have left the scene and they're gone down the road the next 2 miles. But once you're in the immediate area, let us know what you're seeing and have us mobilize resources that we can very promptly bring that situation under control. My colleague, Mr. Sobers, made mention of the distances that you should try to keep grass cut and away from your home, but there are also additional measures that you can consider as well. Things like making sure your guttering is not filled with any dry leaves that could combust once you get embers being blown by the wind and can land in your guttering. And also keeping any vegetation off your house, off your yard wall, and your fence. Because once there's any vegetation that the fire can burn and consume, that fire is going to eventually end up very close to your home. And we want to re-emphasize today the precautions that you need to take. If you are at home and you spot a fire going very close to your property, you have a garden hose, there's nothing wrong with coming out and administering some water to the side of your home and to keep your windows closed, because you don't want the inside of your home to become filled with smoke and the ash. Because obviously after the fire, the cleanup is the next challenge. So any outdoor patio furniture that could possibly combust, you have to remove that as well. If you have garbage cans and there's garbage in the garbage can, and it's in an area where the fire can creep up onto the garbage can and ignite the contents of the garbage can, you need to move all of these things out of the potential path of that fire. The same thing goes for vehicles.
Yeah.
Now, in the past, we've had some fires that were very devastating. We have these mechanics who have vehicles parked on their premises for repair. And in the last few years, a number of these cars that were parked for repair ended up being burned extensively by these grass fires. There's also the added issue of animals, livestock. If you have sheep, you have cows, goats, please remove your livestock from the area if you notice there's a fire burning uncontrollably and there's no fire department presence at that area. You need to remove the livestock. It is quite horrific when you come to the scene and you see people's goats all burnt up and the people's cows and chickens at the farm all consumed by fire. And, you know, these things are sometimes people's livelihood. 1 year we had 800 chickens destroyed by fire in St. Philip. So we want to today in this podcast really impress upon you this situation that we're currently experiencing in Barbados and the need to take action. I can also share with you that we're working very closely with the Met Office as well as UE. They will be conducting research into the wildfires in Barbados. And obviously the fire department will be in a more advantageous position going forward to be able to plan and to look at what forecasts are being given to us by the professionals that can guide us in mobilizing resources to certain areas where we can estimate that we will see flare-ups, because there are some areas in Barbados, because of the high vegetation, and that we know we can expect to see fires every year. So working in collaboration with these agencies, in the very near future, we are going to be in a better position to be able to respond and to take proactive measures to combat the outbreaks of some of these wildfires that are consuming many acreage of grassland in Barbados. And let me say this as well. One of the other disadvantages of these grass fires is that the vegetation that we require to feed the same livestock is being destroyed. It's already very dry and it's hard to get material to feed the cows, to feed the sheep. And some of these grass fires, I mean, they're consuming everything in sight. So once you have a very, very large grass fire, all of that material that we would want to feed the animals is also being destroyed. Added to that, the volume of water that the fire department now has to expend to combat these fires is the third challenge that we're facing, because we are in a drought period and water is a scarce resource in Barbados. So that is the other challenge. Some of these fires are very, very large, and we consume hundreds of gallons of water in our endeavor to combat these fires. And many days, every station has been mobilized to combat fires. And just consider, the average water tender is 600 gallons. And when a truck has to make several trips to combat one fire, you can't imagine how much water that is going to be consumed on a daily basis, which adds to the challenges that we have as a nation about having adequate drinking water available for our population. So be mindful out there and please work with the fire department, cooperate with us, that we can get through this dry season without further calamity.
Yeah. I want to thank Alin for his wealth of knowledge and experience, which I'm sure you could have tell from how he was speaking. And to add to what he was saying, as it relates to the animals, you also have to consider that the animals are, the fire officers who respond to these fires are going to be strangers to the animals. And animals, when they're in danger, as in they see the smoke and the fire, is going to have them heightened and it heightened, and it makes them react differently. So it means then that the fire officers who have to go and respond or who have to go into those same fields to do their duties would not have to be even more cautious as relates to the animals who may be trying to attack them, even though they may be trying to save the animals as well. So for those who have animals, once you know that there's a fire going, please remove your animals and put it to someplace safe, not only for their safety, but also for the safety of the fire officers who are working to bring the fire under control. Also, those persons when you're calling to report fires, grass fires, cane fires, and if you know that there's open wells or there's wells in the area, also inform the dispatcher as well so that they could also alert the officers or when the officers arrive on scene, just go and point out to where the wells may be to make sure that they don't go and put themselves into additional risk of being injured or even worse. Now, as it relates to the grass, you realize that the grass is extremely thick. And the reason for that is over the COVID years, you will find that we do not have areas which would normally burn yearly over COVID because persons were home and they don't want
the lockdowns and the curfews. Exactly.
So a lot of the areas would not have been burnt over those areas. So the grass would be burning over a full year or more period. So the grass is extremely thick and long. So now that is an additional challenge to the officers in terms of extinguishing the fires. And you'll find that over COVID period, the fires, we saw a significant decrease in fires. And now that COVID has not left us, but the lockdowns and everything has been removed and persons are back to some sense of normality or normalcy, you find now the fires are going back up again.
Yeah, there's a lot of vegetation out there.
Yeah.
The last 3 years, as a result of the diminished number of fires, there's a lot of vegetation that is now dried and is abundance of fuel for these grass fires. And that adds to the challenge that we have even more because whereas you can beat out, because of the thickness now of the vegetation, you can't beat out like you would like to. You have to use water to combat these fires. Beating out is not really an option when you go into a grass piece and the grass is like 5 feet tall. So that adds a new dimension to the challenges that the fire officers will encounter as they seek to combat these fires.
Yeah. So I want to also use this opportunity to extend a big shout out and thank you to my colleagues who over the past few weeks were extremely busy, well, even busier than normal. And all those days where we had every single appliance or fire truck at fires, and you still have had a large number of fire calls coming in. So much so that we had to have officers, the gazetted or senior officers, go to scenes or to fires that were going to relay information back to the dispatch to say, okay, all right, this fire is grass, but it's not posing any threat to any houses at this point in time. Or if it was posing a threat, then we had to divert a truck from one fire that was not posing any threat at that point in time to go and respond to that fire, to extinguish that fire, then to go back to the same fire that they were at before. And that was the case over the past couple of weeks. And I want to thank the fire officers in operations for the job that they have been doing. I also want to give a shout out and thanks to the dispatchers, who dispatch is a whole another can of worms. It's not as easy as it sounds. And so for those who are working dispatch and working to get all the fires, responses to the fires and getting all the information out to sending the teams to the whole nine yards, I want to thank you as well. Also to the units as well, who a lot of the units would have had to abandon their daily duties and prioritize in terms of fires and the risk that it posed for Barbados. And all the units would have been out in the small vehicles and whatever vehicles we could find to make sure that they could respond to the large volume of fires that we had coming in. And lastly, I also want to give a special thank you, shout out and thank you to the fire officers at the airport fire station, the aerodrome site, who even when we were responding to fires, they still had to make sure that the airport was covered, and they had the rescue at the airport as well. And the tremendous job that they did in performing the rescue slash recovery of the person at the airport. Kudos and good job to them. And it says to the public as well, even though that it's for a negative light, but it shows that fire officer is the job that we do and is not as easy as people think or see on television. So again, a special thank you to those officers. Now, moving on to the second topic.
Yeah, but before you do, let's also give thanks to the agencies that are rendering support to the fire department.
Definitely.
Because we've also, at occasion, had to ask the roving response teams to render some assistance in some challenging circumstances.
Yeah.
So today, we want to salute them and to express our heartfelt thanks to them as well for assistance. You, the public, we want to ask you to be patient with us.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when we are bombarded with so many calls that you may feel as though that you're not being addressed in the most timely manner, but there are days when the resources are truly overwhelmed. Nonetheless, we make a priority of ensuring that we're able to address every single report. So we're asking for your indulgence and, of course, your patience during peak times when the department is hard-pressed to respond to the number of fires that are coming in.
Yes, and I also want to thank, thank the residents who have been assisting the fire officers at these fires and out there beating out and assisting us with the larger fires especially, and also to the plantation owners and those who are really sending on the auxiliary tenders or the water carts to assist us as well in getting all these fires under control with minimum damage to persons, property. And also consider that a lot of these fires would have persons who were either bedridden or could not be able to be relocated at that point in time. So special thank you to all of those. As we're going to the next topic, we don't have much time left, but we know the children are going on vacation or are on vacation now, and it's Easter period. Easter period normally brings a significant increase in fires because the children are home, but the kite flying especially, and those who want to have play sports. So all the pastures and stuff which are overgrown, you will normally find all those areas being burnt. Persons who want to do outside cooking or roast bare fruit and stuff, and the fire get away. So to all of those persons who know they have children, please speak to them as it relates to fire safety and the times that we're in, as in the dryness, and to avoid lighting or burning anything on the outside. You know, you also have these challenges on social media. So all those children, if you see any challenges involving use of fire, please desist. Don't go inside the cupboard or stuff. You do it playing with matches or lighters or going outside using the same. No, avoid playing with matches and lighters. Avoid doing these challenges that include any form of flames or fire, because not just in terms of you being injured, but as it relates to you could cause someone to lose their house or even you and your family. So avoid that as much as possible. And parents, make sure that your children are supervised. If you're leaving the younger children home with the older children, ensure that they have meals prepared already so that they won't have to be lighting the stove and doing those things which could cause any problems. And you want to add to that?
Just to say that those persons, especially who reside within that 5-kilometer radius of the Brantley Adams International Airport,
yes,
we want to remind you that any fires that burn within that 5-kilometer radius could potentially bring challenges for the airport. And we want to ask you to be mindful not to conduct open burning, especially if you reside within that 5 kilometer radius. Also, as you would have heard, the issue of kite flying in that 5 kilometer radius, you should cease and desist. I can tell you that we're still seeing kites.
Yeah.
And people are still burning within that 5 kilometer radius.
And that smoke as well could cause a challenge to
incoming aircraft
and the tower as well.
As well as operations at the aerodrome.
Yes.
So we really are asking you to cease and desist any outdoor burning at all, but especially within that 5 kilometer radius. We want to have our airport operations continue to be safe and that the tourists and locals alike can come and go at the airport without any additional or undue challenges. So let's play it safe, folks.
Yes, I know this brings us straight to our next segment, the too hot to keep. Too hot to keep. Too hot, too hot. So for this segment, we want to give a shout out to the Fire Prevention and Code Enforcement Unit and all of the operation staff who has been assisting in going to these schools and doing the career showcase or the career workshops. And over the past couple of weeks, we went to Corrigan Parry School. So shout out those at the Corrigan Parry School. Shout out to those at Parkinson's Memorial Secondary School as well. The Darrell Jordan Secondary School. Hillaby's Turner's Hall Primary School, which was we did last week. So shout out to all of those teachers and children. And we have up next, coming up on May 3rd, the Lodge School. So shout out to all those at the Lodge School. I hope you're excited and expecting us because we intend to come out there and bring the heat. And I know my colleague next to me is looking forward to that, especially as a former law student. So law school, look out for us. We promise that we're going to bring some interesting and some heat. So just look out and stay tuned for that. And also on May 4th, we have International Firefighters Day. The day we're internationally is recognized and celebrated for all of the fire officers, both volunteer and those who are
professional
or permanent. So shout out again.
Municipal and industrial.
Exactly. And all those who assist the fire service as well, because we have the additional and the internal staff. So we have some things coming up, and I'm more sure that we probably have some activity planned for May 4th. So stay tuned for some information on that as the time draws closer. And lastly, for our Too Hot to Keep segment, for our Too Hot to Keep, remember, it's too hot to burn. So the Too Hot to Keep is too hot to burn. So wherever you go, inform your neighbors, inform your children, wherever you go, the word on the street is, it's too hot to burn. Too hot to burn. It's too hot. Too hot. So again, I want to thank my colleague, Fire Officer 121 Glenn Allen. He's a man who wears many hats. A very experienced and dedicated person. And I'm sure you'll have heard it today, his passion for firefighting and his love for the job. Is there anything you want to add in closing?
I just want to say that we want to thank the public for your continued support of the fire department and the work that we do. We could not do it without your support, and we want to encourage you to keep supporting the fire department and to play it safe for the remainder of the dry season and, of course, going into the hurricane season, which is coming immediately after. So let's all be safe.
Yeah, so we've literally burned up all of the time, so we didn't get to get through the other topics we had, but we started coming to the end of yet another 311 radio show on VOB 92.9 FM. So I want to thank you so much for joining us. And it's been my pleasure as your host, Fire and Life Safety Officer Kevin Sobers. And as we always say at the end of every show, Fire prevention is our intention. Thank you. Bye-bye. Happy Easter.
You can depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.